This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for October 30th, 2020. ARRL will file comments in firm opposition to an FCC proposal to impose a $50 fee on amateur radio license and application fees. With the comment deadlines fast approaching, ARRL urges members to add their voices to the leagues by filing opposition comments of their own. The FCC Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, NPRM as it's called, in MD Docket 20-270, appeared in the October 15th edition of the Federal Register. It sets deadlines of November 16th to comment and November 30th to post reply comments, which are comments on comments already filed. A lot of people have already filed comments in this proceeding. ARRL has prepared a guide to filing comments with the FCC at arrl.org/FCC-fees-proposal that includes tips for preparing comments and step-by-step filing instructions. Under the proposal, amateur radio licensees would pay a $50 fee for each amateur radio application for new licenses, license renewals, upgrades to existing licenses, and vanity call sign requests. The FCC also has proposed a $50 fee to obtain a printed copy of your license. The FCC proposal affects all FCC services, not just amateur radio. After an activation that lasted more than 9 hours, the Hurricane WatchNet suspended operations on October 29th. HWN manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, said that he hated to close things down, but propagation on 20 and 40 meters was totally gone. The turnout of reporting stations was great, he said, but we can always use more. Aries teams in Louisiana went on standby status on October 27th, ready to activate at the request of local emergency management officials or served agencies as Hurricane Zeta approached. The Louisiana Emergency Net also went on standby status, concluding operations later on Wednesday. The Northern Florida Aries Net convened on October 28th on 75 meters for about 12 hours in anticipation of tropical storm winds and a risk of tornado activity. Northern Florida Section Emergency Coordinator Carl Martin, K4HBN, said the net shut down after counties closed shelters and Aries groups stood down soon afterward. Martin said operators covered 3 shelters. He also cited challenges due to HF conditions. In George County, Mississippi, Aries Emergency Coordinator General Daly, KD4VVZ, suspended routine net traffic to take storm-related reports such as weather data, property damage, and power status. Many downed trees and power lines were reported throughout the affected region. WX4NHC at the National Hurricane Center in Miami activated at 1600 UTC on October 28th, monitoring the Hurricane WatchNet's frequencies. The net funnels ground truth reports to NHC forecasters. ARRL has issued guidelines for multi-operator stations competing in the ARRL DX contest, CW and phone, with the global pandemic continuing. The league is making temporary accommodations for a multi-operator station to operate in these popular ARRL contests under certain guidelines. To wit, team members may operate from their home stations in conjunction with the multi-operator station. Their home station must be located within a radius of 100 kilometers, that's 62 miles, of the multi-operator contest station. The home station must be located within the same DXCC entity as the multi-operator contest station, and in the case of U.S. and Canadian stations, all team member stations must be in the same U.S. state or Canadian province. All team member stations must use the same call sign and exchange as the multi-operator contest station for the duration of the contest. Logging software must be networked so that all team member stations are using a common log. Individual operators may not work the multi-operator contest station or other team member stations using a personal call sign or other call sign. All multi-operator rules, such as band changes and number of signals on a band, still apply. See the full contest rules for details. The contest team must determine and control band assignments, ensuring that no more than one team station is transmitting on any given band at a time. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for October 30th, 2020. Now, the satellite report, courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. Satellite operators have a lot of fun working through the different satellites. Whether you enjoy FM, SSB, or CW, there is a satellite for you. There is one so-called satellite that many might forget, though, the International Space Station. The ISS has a brand new radio on board, and you can sometimes get lucky and work an astronaut. The voice and SST downlink worldwide is 145.80 MHz. The uplink for ITU regions 2 and 3, which includes the Americas, is 144.49 MHz. If you're in Region 1, that's Europe, Africa, and the Mideast, the uplink is 145.20. When the packet system is turned on, the uplink and downlink for VHF is 145.825 MHz worldwide. If the UHF packet is turned on, the uplink and downlink is 437.55 MHz. The last mode available is the VU repeater. The uplink is 145.99 MHz with a PL tone of 67 Hz. The downlink is 437.80. Signals are always very strong, and they are all FM. Thanks, Bruce. In the Santa Clara, California area, listen to ARRL Audio News Fridays at 7:45 p.m. on the WR6ABD 14664 repeater, courtesy of the Loma Pioneer Radio Club. Effective on October 24th, radio amateurs in New Zealand no longer have access to 60 meters. Use of 60 meters in New Zealand was provisional, allowing hams there to use two frequencies in the band, 5353 kHz and 5362 kHz, as part of a trial. New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, the national amateur radio organization, said the New Zealand military had advised the organization that it was not willing to approve another renewal of the 5 MHz trial allocation. NZART has indicated that it will continue to work with New Zealand's telecoms regulator to see if other ways may be available to provide amateurs access to 5 MHz. As in the U.S., the federal government and military are primary on the 5 MHz band. NZART said that while the outcome was disappointing, it wanted to thank the military for allowing radio amateurs to take part in the trial. Pittsburgh radio station KDKA will celebrate 100 years of radio broadcasting in November, and Pennsylvania radio amateurs will honor that milestone in a multi-station special event. KDKA dates its broadcasting history to the airing of the Harding Cox election returns on November 2, 1920, and the station has been on the air ever since. The special event, which will involve four stations, will run through the entire month of November. Special event stations K3K, K3D, K3A, and W8XK will set up and operate at several locations in Pennsylvania during November. Stations will determine their own modes and schedules. Visit the W8XK profile on QRZ.com for information on certificates and QSLs. What became KDKA initially began broadcasting in 1916 as amateur radio station 8XK. At the time, amateurs were not prohibited from broadcasting. The small station was operated by Dr. Frank Conrad, a Westinghouse assistant chief engineer. The transmitter ran 75 watts, and the broadcasts gained some popularity in the Pittsburgh area. In the San Diego, California area, hear ARRL Audio News Fridays at 8:30 p.m. via KG6 TDP on 53.58 MHz, courtesy of the San Diego Six Shooters. The oldest ham in the United States, and possibly the oldest ham in the world, Cliff Cahart, W4KKP of White Rock, South Carolina, died on October 26, a few days past his 109th birthday. Last year, Cahart received ARRL's Centurion Award, which honors centenarian members who have at least 40 years of ARRL membership. First licensed in 1937 as W2LFE in New Jersey, Cahart built his first radio at the age of 9. He got a degree in aeronautical engineering and went on to work for RCA, Philco Radio, and Bendix Aviation. During World War II, Cahart joined the U.S. Army Signal Corps. He served at Iwo Jima shortly after the U.S. victory there, setting up equipment for long-range radio communication and broadcasting, with rhombic antennas pointing in four directions. Cahart went to work for Magnavox after the war, retiring in 1976. After Cahart moved into an assisted living facility in 2017, he had an HF radio station in his room, and he remained active on the air until shortly before his death. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this has been ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 30th. A reminder, turn your clocks back 1 hour on Sunday, November 1st, as daylight saving time ends in those time zones that adopt it. We'll see you next week, 73.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.